Let's bring in Eddie. Let's bring in our man Eddie Gonzalez to this conversation. Eddie, what up, baby?
What's going on, guys? Got a good convo going, man.
We're talking about it's upsetting. It's frustrating, Eddie, that this the W has gone through such a, you know, a massive growth, really. Like, and I know people want to believe it's been over the last year. It hasn't. It's really been over the last 4 or 5 years. It took an exceptional peak this season for a variety of different reasons. Caitlin absolutely being one of the big reasons why. Mm-hmm. But it's been maybe not necessarily drowned out, but man, it has been flooded with so much unnecessary noise around a sport that's going through a pretty big transition right now.
Yeah, I think it's real interesting. And you got to remember with the W, this is still one of the wider sports in terms of, like, demographic, in that sense, and in terms of star players as well. Like, you know, you're looking at the NBA as 95% black men, you know, whether they're foreign or not. But the W, some of the biggest names, some of the greatest players the league has ever seen. You know, a lot of the players that have come out there at UConn farm the last decade plus. And you got Diana Taurasi, and you got Sue Bird, like some of the bigger faces of this league, Breonna Stewart, you got Elena Deladon. Like, this has been a white league for some time. So going to what you guys are both saying, like, this has been happening. Maybe it hasn't happened this amplified. Maybe it hasn't happened when they're able to clap back essentially as loudly as they can now and have as big an audience now. But this definitely has been happening. And Dame, you mentioned like the sexuality as well. Like, that's always been a thing. That's always been a backhanded, not even backhanded, like front-handed diss towards a lot of these players. So DJNay said something earlier this year. She tweeted it. She's like, we're not the league that's going to show up and dribble. Y'all just got to deal with it. That's true. And they stand on that, and they always have. And that's for better or for worse as a fan. Some fans love it. Some fans hate it. But they're going to stand up for themselves now as well. I appreciate, it's not really none of my business, but I respect what you're saying, that it's not like, it's only so much Caitlin can do. I don't know how that became a talking point. Like, she needs to stop them. Like, she's not encouraging them. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and she's speaking up where she can. Every player in every league is not going to be as outspoken or an activist or what have you. I think she's taken a pretty bland approach to that, which is her prerogative. She doesn't necessarily need to. She's stood up in certain places. She's basically said, I stay out of that type of stuff, to be told. Even when they were asking her about Twitter trolls and stuff like that, it's like, I don't get into this. And I think there's some truth to that. I mean, people can feel like that she's not doing enough, and that's, again, their option or their opinion. But you know, not every player is going to be that, but I'm happy that she came and stood up and said, hey, this isn't cool. I'm just like a pessimist in the sense where it's like that anonymous troll Twitter account that's pestering whatever player, they're not going to see Caitlin say, they're gonna, oh yeah, let me reevaluate.
We determined Caitlin would have to be the first person ever to stop racism. That's what we.
Caitlin is not getting the Pepsi can.
Doctor, right? Dr. King couldn't do it. Pepsi couldn't do it. But Caitlin can.
But it's an important combo, and you know, this league is important. As my homegirl Ari Chambers says, like, the WNBA is so important. It's important in a lot of ways. Like, you know, I took my daughter, of course, on to see a game, and she was like mystified. Like, I didn't know women do this. You know, it's important in a lot of ways, and this is one of them. So, you know, look, it's not everybody's favorite combo as a sports fan or even as an athlete, but they're dealing with this. And here's what I'll say. When Bill Russell was telling us what was going on 25 years into his league, it would be wrong of us to be like, oh, get over it. Just play. You're fine. You know what I mean? And they had to stand up and they had to take stands and they had to do all of that as well. People forget this is year 26 of the WNBA. Like, this is – you know, the NBA was still on black and white TVs and still like in bingo halls, essentially, and not live television and all that stuff. So this is this is an infancy stage still of this league, and they're dealing with stuff like this. And so, yeah, they're going to have to figure out what that is, whether it's increased security, whether, you know, it's just a quicker leash at the game to get guys out of there. And we seen that on TV the other night. They were grabbing somebody courtside like, yo, you got to go. Yeah. that happens in the NBA too. Like, I don't understand why people are acting like, oh, these women are just overly sensitive. We watched Russell Westbrook multiple times in the last couple of seasons say, hey, he said this, he gotta go. Mm-hmm. And so it's not no different. And you know, they should be standing up for themselves.
We saw LeBron walking official over right there.
So it's tough, and that stuff goes beyond just sports. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're taking it another level, and it's darker, and it's gross, to be quite honest.
Yeah,
so,
facts.
It's frustrating to watch as a fan, as captain. Like, I just want to talk about basketball when I talk about the W, but this is a part of the conversation with that league,
right? And you know, like for me personally, maybe, you know, it might hit home more than, you know, person X that's on ESPN or whatever the case may be, because, you know, I look at these black women who can routinely talk about the disrespect that they're getting and the racism they're getting. And I look at home. I look, my mom is a black woman. My wife is a black woman. My daughter's a black little girl. You know what I mean? And it's like,
mean one sometimes.
Well, they say, don't cross her. Don't cross her. But yeah, you know, I mean, like, I'm like, man, everybody needs to be protected, but we got to protect these black women who are telling us that they're experiencing something that they've never experienced in their career. And I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't know what can be done, but I'm with you, Eddie. And Damon, you said the same thing. It's not something that you just brush off and say, oh, get over it or get better. Like, I think the WNBA needs to be a little proactive in this matter.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm with you. Like, I'm not sure what exactly that is, but they'll have time to figure out what that entails. And it's been such a great season for this league and for a lot of these players, and just the growth of the sport in general. You hate to see it marred by something like this, and I don't think any one player is responsible. I don't think that, you know, any one player can stop it. Like you said, you know, none of them can stop racism as a whole. But yeah, there's I feel like they can be proactive, or at the very least show their players they're trying to be proactive and protect them. We're 20 years out from the malice at the palace. You know what I mean? And the NBA instantly reacted and said, we have to protect our players. Mm-hmm. We have to install new rules, new practices at all of our arenas. We have to change it. And they even put some rules on the players. Keep your eyes out the stands. but you know, you have to be proactive as a league. You have to protect your athletes. And that's what's going to have to happen this offseason for the WNBA.
To be fair to Commissioner Stern, I think that rule existed before.
Well, I know
we're just going to reiterate. Hey, don't go into the stands, guys.
You can't even throw the ball in the stands no more.
You can't throw a mouthpiece into the stands.
That's a tech.
He got tossed, I think, for that. Didn't Steph get tossed?
Yeah, he got tossed. Yeah. We know the classic of that old random early 90s clip. Vernon Maxwell walking up the stairs. Like, wait a minute. Hold on.
Yo, y'all go to games all the time, too. He went far. He went
halfway up the bleachers and fell. I said, yo.
He went a ways up there. That's a walk, my man. So, yeah.
Shout out to Cass. He does bring a good point. Just paint and racism on the court.
Everything will be done.
It worked for the NFL.
President Goodell. Thank you.
That'll do it.
Yeah, ends racism quicker than painting it in the end zone. And if we can get Lift Every Voice and Sing, oh, we're cooking now. We are cooking now. Goodness gracious.
Roger Luther Goodell.
Eddie Gonzalez of Complex Sports with us here. Shifting gears over to the NBA with a couple of media days already in the books, most of them getting underway next week, including here. In Sacramento, I saw Jamal Crawford said Lob City was one of the best teams to not win a championship. And I had to agree with him. I think he's right. And I always think about that Lob City team. And Eddie, the worst thing that happened to them is they were ascending at the same exact time the Golden State Warriors were. Warriors just ascended a little higher.
Man, I love my man Jamal. Like, I talk to him all the time. Great dude, one of the realest dudes I ever met in this sport, in this industry. He tripping a little bit right there, though. I'm gonna just say that. I mean, look at the teams that was around. Like, was Lob City better than the Pacers that couldn't get through the Heat? Like, were they better than the Bulls? You know, Derrick Rose just retired. Like, are we talking about a better, stronger team than that? It was a decent team in a tough West. Are they better than the Thunder? You know what I mean? Like, they're not better than these squads to me. they're a great team. They had one really great run 1 year.
Yeah.
And then the injuries piled up, and then you got you're dealing with Doc Rivers, and that's his own situation. And,
no, that was not and all necessary. That going
on. So I don't know if I would take it as far as Jamar. They were one of the more impactful and interesting teams I've ever seen. I remember I saw Blake Griffin at Arco, and it felt like a celebrity was on the court and just so happened to be playing basketball. Like, it was bigger than basketball. And every single deflection that happened in that game, it was like, like, is it, are we going to see what? Oh, yeah. Right. And it was like that. And it was like, I think that was like Tyreek and Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
And we was just waiting for the Blake dunk. I don't think we ever got it.
Blake was supposed to be ours. He's supposed Blake to be was,
us. He tried.
That was our worst. That was when we had the worst record on the planet and got the worst pick that you can get with the worst record.
Cold.
Blake was one of those stars that was like, the LeBron fans are going to get mad, but he was bigger than LeBron for about 6 months. Like, he was a bigger deal. Mm. LeBron was better. I'm like, don't yell at me on Twitter. but Blake was like the league for a lot of people for a long time. So, yeah, that was a fun team. It was an impactful team. I don't know. It was one of the best teams that ever won a championship. You know what the best team that ever won a championship is.
Yes, we do. We actually
we all
do.
On the same page here? We all on the same page.
We all okay. are. We all know exactly what team it is. Page.
Come on now. We know what the best team ever won a championship
that, that Lob
and
City,
they should have won a championship.
They should have.
Yeah, we got to take that one to court or something.
Lob City had again. 1 year.
Right, again.
They had 1 year. 2015, I thought, was really? Their year.
Wow.
Yeah, and they blew that lead, like, that game six.
J.J. Redick was pretty adamant on his show. Like, he felt like it was that 1 year they had. Like, they really had a chance. I think that's when CP broke his hand. No, it was the year before that.
That was the year. That was a tough one. But the year they blew game six to the Rockets, they were going to play the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. I thought they would have beat the Warriors. And they were – I thought they were the best team that year.
You can't blow that game like that. And when you do, you kind of get what you deserve. They had another one they blew against the Thunder that was awful, too.
Yeah, I think that was the year before.
How do you lose that game? Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
I thought Lob City was better than Chicago. I mean, that's Chicago. Chicago. They were tough. Like,
well, Chicago probably felt like they were going to win it the next year when D-Rose got hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's
the MVP season was like a year too early, but that next year when they were running through the league, I think they were the one seed. Yeah. Like, come on. Yeah. And
that
so
tough.
It's tough. That was a team like of the time too. Like, you look at the guys they played, how big they were, how big and slow they were, even though they had D-Rose, like, that's a team you could never trot out there today.
Right.
It's ancient. Yeah,
right.
And that's only 13 years ago.
Right.
Perfect roster, perfect coach.
While I got both of you guys here, we didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday, D-Rose retiring. And I saw on the insiders, they were having a conversation about whether or not D-Rose is a Hall of Famer. And I think he is. I think he is. And I want to tell you guys why, but I don't want to be mean. I really don't want to be me. I don't want to. It's going to come off being me. Should I just say it? I'm going to just say it. The bar was set when Tim Hardaway got into the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
Derrick Rose is better than Tim Hardaway.
That is the argument, right? In Sacramento, I love you.
Well, I know. You're I know. I look.
Oh, okay. Well, wait a minute. What the hell is going on here?
I know.
I love you. And I love the Air Bacons. And I love that jersey. But the bar also got set with that, Vince Richmond as well.
That was like, see to me, Eddie,
he hit him with the Shawn Michaels. He said, "Sacramento, I love you," and then sweet chin music right to the face.
See to me, Eddie, I ain't even gonna lie. That was the old bar because I agree with you. I was like,
and I agree with you.
Yeah, I think he's better than Tim.
My man Andre, if he gets in, this conversation I've had with Andre, if he gets in, the bar changes again.
Mm.
He may be up the level, but again, he has hardware those guys don't have. Mm-hmm. Draymond gets in, that changes the board. Like, we're talking about the statistical board.
Draymond getting Draymond's in, I'm getting player. In.
So I think it's that. Like, I pitched something around a few years ago. I wanted to do like a cultural Hall of Fame. I wanted to do a Hall of Fame that had guys like Jason Williams and Baron Davis and Jamal Crawford. And
I love that Jason Williams was the first name mentioned in the cultural Hall of Fame.
I love basketball. Jason Williams wearing the Hyperflights is like what made me care.
Come on, man.
No doubt.
But like that level of player that matters culturally, has impact on the game, that might not necessarily be an MVP. Mm. Now, the thing with Derrick Rose is he's the youngest MVP of all time. If he doesn't make the Hall of Fame, he'll be the only MVP to not make the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
I don't think he's going to get in because of the rest of his career. And it's unfortunate. You lose that career because of that injury. and that sucks. I think he's a Hall of Fame talent. He's absolutely like top tier 1% Hall of Fame talent. Mm-hmm. We'll never know what happened. The league changed for him just like it changed for us. You know, and it turned into a different league that if D-Rose isn't shooting 35% from three in 2017, who knows what even a healthy D-Rose is looking like, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think he should get in. I don't think he will. But if I had a vote, I'd vote him in. And you know, we start splitting hairs. Is he first ballot? Is he this? Is he that? I think the way I look at it a lot of times is if we write the book of basketball, shout out to Bill Simmons for that. But if we write the book of basketball, like some guys get a chapter, mm-hmm. some guys are a cross chapter, some guys get a page, some guys get a paragraph. D Rose might not have a chapter, but he has a couple long pages where we got to talk about what he gave to the game. So to me, that's a Hall of Famer. Hmm. I just don't think he's going to get in.
There was a time, and I mean, it still is.
I don't agree with either one of y'all for the rest.
I don't know if you can, like, once again, we talk about the book of basketball, telling the story. I don't know if you can just not mention Derrick Rose.
Well, you can't, because he has a very distinct link to basketball history. They changed the CBA because of Derrick Rose. Everything that some of these guys fight for in terms of rookie contract, it exists because of what Derrick Rose did his first 4 years in the league.
Very true.
That's his link, though.
But the other thing about it, I remember watching. I was telling people about this. Not like I found it, but I just remember having this conversation. I said there has never been. I've never seen point guards like Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook when they were absolutely. I've never seen anything like that.
Absolutely.
At the point guard position. Then you see more like Dame Lillard's, Steph Curry's, these guys. These guys were LeBron at 6'4" 100%. Or something like that. Like, mm-hmm. it was crazy to see those two.
It's funny, the closest comp we had when we was younger was KJ, right? Mm-hmm. Sag native. And he was kind of that. Like, he was like 40% of what that was. Right. Athleticism, speed, that type of stuff. D Rose had an argument to be the most athletic player in the sport, and that's with prime LeBron running around. You know what I mean? Prime Dwight running around. Like, all these dudes who was jumping out the gym, who could run up and down the floor, and he was doing that at 6'2", 6'3". Mm-hmm. Like you said, even when you get a pretty athletic point guard and you got younger Dame and he was dunking on guys and doing stuff like that, it wasn't that. Them dudes was just the fastest dude in the gym at all times, and he could jump with anybody in the league. And so it was crazy. Like, you watch a guy like D Rose in high school, or maybe even in college, when we watch him in Memphis, it's like, okay, he's just more athletic than everybody. He can't do that in the NBA. And then he goes to the NBA and he does it. And he's just like, okay, he's just doing this at the highest level. This is always going to look like for him. So it was nothing like that. Like, I feel like we get nostalgia and we start gassing stuff a lot, but it was nothing like that first couple of years of D Rose when he was booming on everybody and crossing everybody up. And I was in the building when he dropped Reek. And it hurt my soul, and it was just like, man.
That Dragic dunk.
The home crowd got to go, whoo,
That Dragic dunk is one of the nastiest dunks I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God.
You never see a dude just chest for chest, two-hand. He's dunking going up.
He went like this.
It's like, and Dragic, I'm waiting for Dragic to give him his flowers for the retirement. He retired this year as well. I'm waiting because I know he's got something great to say, because that's like his NBA moment. But that was insane, bro. Like, we've never – a dude at that size is athletic and as incredible as I think Russ is and was, he still wasn't that athletic. Mm. Like, he still didn't have that extra gear that I think D-Rose had. Mm.
He didn't play enough, one.
That's fair. That's the argument. That's definitely the argument.
The other one is – and I'm sorry – he has a very uncomfortable part of his story.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. it's bad. Mm-hmm. Like, real bad.
I try not to be like high horse media guy, but I was shocked how little that was mentioned over the last.
Right. Day. Like, and look, I mean,
that's facts.
It was like 11, 10, 11. It was a while ago. I'm not good with dates like you guys are. It was a while ago, but it was close to eight. It had to have been somewhere between 8 to 10 years ago. Mm. But it's bad. Like, when you go again, it was a decade ago. When you go get re-familiar with it,
yeah.
It's a tough, tough look. And even though, like, I don't believe your worst moment has to be mentioned for the rest of your life, but God damn, that's a bad moment. Like, yeah. A real, real bad moment. And when you got a player like this who was so on the The Verge, and it was always weird with Derrick Rose. I remember he had a moment. I feel like he hit a game winner, and it felt like the entire world was watching, and he sobbed. And
he hit for 50.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Okay. And I remember his reaction, and more specifically, I remember the NBA's reaction, meaning Bron, Chris Paul, guys tweeting about Derrick Rose, and it was just it was nothing but love for him.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking in that moment, that's dope and also kind of strange. Mm. And again, you don't have to be defined by your worst moment, but you still have it.
Yeah.
And Derrick's is pretty tough.
Yeah. I again, as a media member, I not pride myself, but I kind of make it a point to be kind of partisan and kind of want to be as balanced and have fun with some of the stuff we do. But it was one of those stories, like, I was shocked how little it was, man, especially now where, like, people always want to bring that stuff up. Mm-hmm. And, again, this is a decade ago. This is, you know, he was officially exonerated, mm-hmm. right? So I mentioned that as well. And, again, I don't want to be the high horse reporter. And I'm not necessarily myself casting judgment, but – usually that type of stuff is really loud in these moments, and it just wasn't for whatever reason, which was surprising. So,
For sure. Can't have Eddie here without talking about Little Raiders football, and I just want to know,
can you see this man does not want to talk about that.
I just wanted to know if he could rush the passer or play wide receiver this year. They need – or this Sunday. They need
– Yeah, they do.
Need help. That's crazy. I didn't see Sunday coming at all. I know Raider fans were like, oh, no, we've been here before. Some Raider fans were like, we've been here before. Yeah. We're on guard or whatever.
3 years straight,
like,
now.
I was like, nah. I didn't see
it. I was definitely in the meme with, like, oh, I got my hopes up. Oh, they're about to kill. Like, I was definitely right in the meme. I was just like, there was this little hint of, like, you know, they put an adult at quarterback. Maybe. I've seen that movie before with this team. Mm. You know, I've seen it. I've seen Nick Foles do it. Mm. I've seen Baker Mayfield do it. I've seen a bunch of guys I'm forgetting right now in my trauma. So it's like, maybe with just like a taller quarterback who knows where to throw it most of the time. Mm. And Andy Dalton's by no means great, but he's just a veteran. Mm. I said, maybe that will be bad. But our defense is where we lay our hat. Our secondary is where we lay our hat. No. I watched about 10 minutes of that game and was like, oh, I know exactly what this is. Mm. I'm out of here.
I've seen this before. I've seen this before.
So there's a couple of losses that really sink, right, and are like really painful as a fan. Losing to the Ravens, AFC Championship, they broke
Sarah Gruson's
arm. Yeah. That sucked. That was like, oh, that was our year. That was our year to win a Super Bowl in my life. Mm. There's like the 52-0 Rams game. That was pretty bad. The Baker game where he gets he doesn't even have a playbook. He signs on the street Tuesday and beats them with a game-winning 99-yard touchdown
off the plane
on Thursday. Fresh off like being cut and just about out the league. And I'm no Baker. Well, I wasn't a Baker Mayfield fan. He kind of made me one that night. So, yeah, all those are, like, way worse than this.
You ain't even mentioned my favorite. You ain't even mentioned Jeff Saturday.
Oh.
Jeff Saturday. But, like, my thing with that is, like, after the Ravens game, I called my buddy D-Rec out in SAC. I said, we had, like, an hour-long convo. Like, man, if they win this game, they could beat the Browns. And then, you know, then they play this. Man, we mess around and go to KC, like, 5-1, 6-1. Like, we might be looking at – and yeah, now I'm just over it all.
Good news, buddy. You didn't do it on the radio like I did.
Silly guy.
Man, that was tough. One of the things that I'll ask you about this too, about the psychological aspect of it. I saw some quotes from some Raider players like, yeah, you know, we had some talks. You know, they got a little personal. People had to say what they had to say, but it was good to clear the air. Are you okay with that this early?
3 weeks into the season, right? And we're talking about a new coach. We're talking about fairly low expectations. We're talking the thing that worries me is that, like, the sell for the new coach is, oh, he'll have the guys ready at all times. Like, they'll be motivated at all times. And I love AP, but to have this meeting 3 weeks into the season, that's pretty damning. For a team with a lot of veterans, too. For a team with a lot of veterans, you gotta grizzled vet at quarterback, but your two superstars, they're vets and they're proven. And it's like, you have to have these convos now.
Yeah.
that doesn't bode well for the rest of the season. But I mean, again, you turn seasons around, seasons along. This is gonna be a tough game. Obviously, you're missing those two stars this game. So now we're gonna see they announced Kuntz is out for the year. It's a lot going on over there, man. I'm watching Colorado Buffalo games pretty closely.
Shador,
you know,
that's my boy, my boy Shador.
I went to Giants Cowboys last night. I saw Dak Prescott in person pretty closely. You know,
you were scouting.
I'm keeping my options open as far as like what's going on with the quarterback position out there in Las Vegas. Now Dak got that bag, so he's you know, we're talking about maybe the end of that now at this point. But yeah, I'm kind of moving on here. I'm a national fan at this point. I'm watching the whole league.
Well, hey, it's fun over here. I can tell you that. As someone on that side, it is so relaxing over here, my man. I got room for you. I got some wine. Just come over here and hang out, man. Every Sunday is comfortable over here.
I get one more Trent Williams tweet, and I might be joining you guys in a second. Come on, man. It's getting crazy.
Those weekends when you're a red zone guy – that's like the best weekend.
Oh yeah,
it's like the best Sunday. You're just chilling. It's nothing to worry about. But then ones when you're not, and then you can't listen to none of your podcasts.
Oh no, well, this guy.
Football, yeah, I spend the whole week listening to Joe Budden. That's what I do. I just
see and hear about that. Like, man, look.
I'm listening to Joe Budden all week long.
Yes, I'm planning Monday's show by myself.
y'all been talking about Sam Darnold all week, and it's a silly decision y'all made out there, man. I missed my opportunity, man.
Nah, I've been talking about Cardi and Offset. I'm all the way up to date on that. Yeah. I didn't listen to no sports. I'm all the way up to date.
I'm about to loop there. Don't let your baby mama go on live and start talking crazy about you, man. Oh, and then you hit them. That's just a lot. That's a lot going on.
Okay. Boy, Cardi, you run into her somewhere and she like, hey, I'm feeling him. No, I'm good. I do not want to wind up the subject of one of your Instagram lives. It's cool. Very nice to meet you. I'll catch you at the next time you're at the Golden One Center.
You know what I always say about celebrities, man? I watch the Kardashians have multiple children and never show us any step of the process until them kids was like crawling around. So anything we know about Cardi, it's because she wants us to know and probably told us. Mm-hmm. So I know since I showed for the show, I laugh, but they tell us everything when they want to.
Brother, we appreciate you so much, man. Thanks for these weekly visits. We'll catch up with you next week.
Yes, sir.
All right, my guy.
That's the man, Eddie Gonzalez, right there. Complex Sports, baby. We'll come back. Steelin' with KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. There's literally no one here.
Yeah, but all the donuts managed to be in.
That is absolutely incredible.
Oh man,
absolutely incredible.
So look,
this place.
So they were here at one point.
No, the donuts were here. Yeah, yeah, donuts were here.
Donut Friday today.
When
bro.
I got here, the box. I got here 11. The box was on the counter empty.
They were so gone. I was like, I guess we're not doing Donut Friday no more.
They were just gone. And it's a work. It's a work from home. It's a hybrid work day.
I'm gonna keep it real, bro. Like you gotta earn them donuts. You got to earn those donuts.
Kyle's needs to stop putting them out there.
Yeah.
They need to go straight to the ESPN. They go to the ESPN 1320. They go to the Jesse studio.
You're not allowed in here.
You have to gain access to the studio to get a donut.
That's it.
That's how it works. Promotions can have a donut because they work their ass off. If you're only here 12 hours a week, you don't get a donut.
You're not qualified. You don't have enough hours.
G14 classification.
G14.
It's like the Donut Friday is like the max contract extension. If you don't hit the stats, you don't get the max contract. That's what the donuts are.
That's exactly what it is.
You just stay out there and you go to Kimberly's Snack Shack and you like it.
Are we real quick? Just pull the curtain back. Are we going 43 or?
I don't know. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I was listening.
We only go super long. We skipped two breaks, and that's just the Trista thing.
Yeah.
Are you okay just going a little bit since you watched a couple more episodes of Vince? Like, you, it's even worse than you originally thought yesterday?
I think it's awful. Well, okay. We were talking about this earlier. It's not for me. I've been watching wrestling since I was 4 years old. Mm-hmm. Some of my earliest memories in life are wrestling. I never went to Arco 1 for a Kings game. I went to ARCO one. I can't count how many times to see professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. My first event at ARCO two was not for a Kings game. It was for the WWF. I have loved professional wrestling since I was 4 years old. When my mom had to work late, I would get tapes from Blockbuster or Placer Video or whatever was in existence at the time.
Yeah.
And I would stay up and watch wrestling while she was working. I know too much. So when I'm watching with someone who doesn't, they find a lot of what is happening interesting. They don't know about the steroid trial. They don't know about, you know, the shift in professional wrestling in the very in the late 90s. They're far more interested than I am. I just hate every few minutes I blurt out, well, that's not what really what happened. Like it is, like, to a degree. I recited the Dave Meltzer line before it happened. When they kept saying 93,173, I was like, that's not how many people were there. It's like, how many people were there? I don't know. I think it was around 70,000, but Vince makes up these numbers. Like, the crazy thing is Dave Meltzer said it was like 78,000. That was still the biggest house in the history of professional wrestling.
There was no need to
But Dave was spot on, and I'm not one of those guys who takes everything that Dave Meltzer says as the gospel, but I do trust a lot of what he says, especially when it comes to numbers and things like that. They've recited that 93,173 so long they think it's true. And I'm watching it, and it's like, this is a terrific WWF documentary. This is not a Vince, at least three episodes in. This is not a Vince McMahon documentary.
Do you think it goes into Vince McMahon? Like, is it going in... oh man, what, I'm drawing a blank on the word, but is it going in the order of his life and his career, and maybe in the last three, his career starts to, the things start to come out that get a little crazy? Because it's got to be something, because Vince came out and was like, oh, there's a bunch of lies in here.
I haven't, well, no, what he said was that the producers tried to conflate the Mr. McMahon character with Vince McMahon. It's very obvious. The individual sitting in that chair in the middle of the ring is Vince McMahon and Mr. McMahon. They're one and the same. Now, I know Bruce Pritchard has known Vince McMahon for an eternity, and he will tell you how he paid off his first car that the promoter that he worked for in Houston bought him. And when he left Houston, the promoter demanded that he pay for it. Vince McMahon paid for it. Vince McMahon paid for his wedding. I'm sure Vince McMahon has done a number of wonderful things in his life.
And Nino Brown was buying Thanksgiving dinner.
but that doesn't take away from the fact that he you know, telling the Wendy Richter story, and I haven't gotten to the part of the Bret Hart stuff. I started to fall asleep. But when he's telling the Wendy Richter story, it's business. I didn't take it personal. Of course you didn't take it personal. She was the one out there in the middle of the ring. She was the one out there who had to walk back having no understanding of what just happened. Of course, you didn't take it personally. It's your company. She took it personally. She never worked for you again.
Right.
And so I think you're 100% right at how this goes. And I understand, for those who aren't paying attention, all six episodes are out. Because of what we do for a living, I don't have the opportunity to sit down and watch all six episodes at once. I'll get through all of them this weekend.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a certain point where you're not covering Vince McMahon, the character, anymore, because the character doesn't exist. And my guess is you get to the match that involved Donald Trump, and then it starts to shift, right? And you start to see some other things. I know Stephanie has been pretty vocal about, is pretty vocal on the documentary about things that Vince wanted to do in terms of her character. I text Chris, because Chris has seen, I was like, I saw Shane McMahon was trending, and he sent me a clip. I was like, Shane hates him, right? Like, he hates his father. And I don't know that that's necessarily true. Maybe it's not. But, like, when I hear him talk about his dad, I get the impression that he does not respect that man.
Did you see the clip I saw? Because I'm still on the first episode. I'm going to go back and watch it this weekend, too. But that Paul Heyman, first of all, Paul Heyman is just always an unbelievable storyteller.
He's probably the greatest in history.
Yeah, like, it's just fantastic the way he tells the story with the knife and everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a trip.
Mm-hmm.
that's a trip. And I'm not taking it as like, oh, I believe Vince was like, yeah, do this. But when he gets to that end part where he says, I was willing to do whatever I needed to do with my dad if he didn't listen to me, it's like, wow.
And maybe the one small bit of insight we've got is for those that have followed wrestling all these years and have watched the evolution both publicly and privately of the relationship between Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon, mm-hmm. we got a little bit of insight into Vince McMahon's relationship with his father. Mm-hmm. And they look to be one and the same.
Mm.
And that's obvious.
Yeah.
It's obvious not even getting to episodes where Shane McMahon is talking extensively about Vince yet.
Right.
Like, I got to deal with hearing about the screw job for the 47th time and listening to Bret Hart bitch about it tonight. And then I think we'll get into these episodes where you're in the Attitude Era, and that's where Stephanie and Shane become central characters to everything that's happening. I assume Triple H is brought into this somehow, given that he's married into the family. There's a few other main points that have to be discussed that I feel like maybe this documentary finally finds life in discussing Vince McMahon. Because mm-hmm. I don't want to hear what The Rock thinks about Triple H dating Stephanie. I want to hear Vince talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear Linda talk about it.
Yeah.
And if they're talking about it as their characters on television, then I'm just watching for something that I hope pops up that I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, the only clip that I've never seen before is the Madison Square Garden tribute to Vince's father. I had never seen that before, and I actually thought, that's pretty cool. I've never seen that. That's it.
Mm. And I want to dive in a little bit more this weekend, man.
I'll finish it this weekend. Like I thought I had plans this weekend. I don't think I do.
Yeah, I thought about that. Yeah,
I can tell you from a conversation I had yesterday. Your weekend's free, pal. So I will be able to get all of that. I will be able to get the documentary. I might even be able to finish it tonight. Who knows? But we'll have some. We'll try to work it into the show at different points next week, even though the Kings are getting underway. For those that missed it, Domantas Sabonis joined us earlier. That interview in its entirety will be available in podcast form once the show is over. Of course, it's available on YouTube as well. We are done with guests for the rest of the day. Let's come back and reveal the number one game in KC's top 20 games of the Kings season. But before you do that, head over to MapTrician.com or to make it easier, go to the website that Greg built for us. It's trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. You can access MapTrician.com right there. You can set up your free nutritionist consultation. You could use the free macro calculator to help you kind of build out what your meal should look like if you don't want to do the meal plan that they have. I suggest that you do it. Shout out to our girl Katie from the Wake Up Call. She met with Greg this morning.
Nice.
Her training starts tomorrow. Your training can start right now. Your road to better health and better fitness begins with trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. The link to MapTrition is right there to get the strength enhancers, the fat burners, to get the protein powders that we talk about. It's right there for you all in one place. trainwithmap.fit/ESPN1320. And we'll be back with more here dealing with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320 on this beautiful Friday afternoon in Sacramento. It was a little hot today. I went and took a walk with my daughter earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 10:30. I started sweating. It was like, it's a little hot outside. I went right back inside. We went to the corner. I said, I'm going to go for a walk later. Came right back inside.
Oh, man. Sorry. I'm sorry. I just got to send it to you. Severely distracted. No, you guys are going to love this. Sambar.
I'm so excited.
No, if I read this in the chat, the pop would be crazy. Oh my God, Sambar, hang on. Hang on, everyone. I'm so terribly sorry. This is just awful.
I wonder what it could be.
This is just terribly unprofessional.
Vince is killing me.
No. It's in your phones right now. Oh my goodness. We have the greatest radio.
Jeez, bro.
So let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. Remember this moment.
Wow.
Remember this moment right now. 2:50 today. Remember, we were looking at our phones. We started laughing uncontrollably.
Thomas sent the bat signal out for someone.
Hey, hey. Remember this on Monday. Some of you are going to figure out what we're laughing at on Monday. We'll revisit this as a class all together. Right. But, oh, I don't want to say it out loud because it's...
Yeah.
But, oh, man.
Bruh.
Yep.
Come on, man.
Yeah. What a Friday. You know what? You know what? It's Friday. Y'all know what it is.
Sure the hell
Hang on,
is.
Man. It's Friday. Let's get up in here on this Friday. Come on now. What y'all want to do? Woo! Talk about it. Flashback Friday getting underway on 102.5 KSFM coming up in just about an hour and 10 minutes. Find you another radio show that has Domantas Sabonis on it and Akon.
Hey.
Now, those are two different radio shows on two different radio stations, but it's dealing with KC here on ESPN 1320.
Let's get it.
This show, just remember this moment on Monday. That's all I ask you guys to do.
Crazy, bro.
Remember this show. Remember this moment.
That is crazy, man. Oh, by the way, I see him in the chat. Young Zell, man. Hey, go check out the new album from my man, Young Zell, man.
Sure.
Go check it out. Young Zell got that new album. That new Young Zell is out. Come on, man. Go check him out. Apple. All that.
It's our brother right there. Yeah, it's out there. It's out there. Go support our man, Young Zell. He don't miss.
Ooh.
But Zell, you sent me a text a while back. I don't think I need to screen capture it for you and send it back to you. You know exactly what text I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Zell, TikTok.
Mm.
Y'all, you know what it is. Mm. You know what it is, Zell. It's about that time.
Okay.
It's about that time.
I smell what you cooking.
See, not Zell knows. He knows. During the DeMar DeRozan, Malik, he knew. He knows. I see you, Zell.
His new single, Killer D's.
Well, that's not it. That's not it.
It's the funniest owner.
I was going to say featuring Vivek.
Basketball.
I love, too, that Domas knew exactly what we were talking about. Like, he wasn't like, huh? What? What's it? No, he knew. He absolutely knew what we were talking about, and he knew that nickname is not going to fly.
Man, that's crazy. That text, I'm still tripping off that. That's crazy.
It's wild, right?
That is, man.
They can't do what we do, man. Don't think a company email will go out about that one, though, will it?
I guess we'll just wait till Monday.
Man.
Man, I'm tripping off that one. Like, oh, man.
They don't love us over here. No matter what we do, they don't love little old D-Lo and KC, little old ESPN 1320.
Hey, man, we just going to keep
They don't winning. Know. We find out everything, too.
We just going to keep winning. That's all we're going to do. We just going to keep winning.
I say this all the time.
We don't know any other way.
I say this all the time. Just wait till they see what we do next. When I say we run this bitch, I mean it. And we're gonna make that even more evident in the next few months. At some point, you're going to have to acknowledge us.
Acknowledge us.
You want to get to game number one of the top 20 games of the Kings season?
Yeah, Mike's still on the line with us. Mike's still on the line. He wanted to talk.
I didn't even know Mike was there. Mike, my sincerest apologies. Mike here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. What's up, Mike?
Man, you guys are going to make me follow that, huh? Yeah,
well, so Mike, that was all my bad, man. I apologize.
Hey, I've been watching wrestling as much as you. Stuff you say, it's like, God, I didn't think anybody else knew that much about it. Mm-hmm. But this documentary, I've seen all six eps, and it's like everything I hear is like, oh, I already knew that. It's a whole lot of, I already knew that. I already knew that. And like a handful of things that are said and that are shown, it's like, okay, well, that I didn't know, or that is wrong completely. You know, it is one of the most interesting documentaries that I've seen, where it's a handful of, oh, I didn't know that. It's just a bunch of, I already knew that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, well, Mike, and I'll also ask you and Damien as well. I made the comment earlier. I don't know if they're going to make anything that you guys don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys are historians of wrestling, and you've, you know, you soaked up all the knowledge around it. I'm sure there are some things you don't know, but there's not much, right? Like, there's not a whole lot I don't think you guys can learn. But like you said, maybe the people you watch it with, all this is news to them. You fact check them a little bit, but like, oh, man, I didn't know this about them. And that's kind of maybe more,
I think,
something like that is made for.
Do you think the casual fan, like, if you were to present that to, like, the doc to them, like, do you think it would be, like, they'd learn a lot or something like that, I guess?
Because,
like I said, like one example I was thinking about yesterday, like, you said we know all this stuff. Like, the plane ride from hell, I learned that from a Kevin Nash shoot interview or whatever, not from, like, any of the docs. It's like, You see it, it's like, oh, yeah, you knew all about this already.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's I think you'd probably a casual fan, sure, a less than casual fan. I'm trying to pinpoint like what you'd find interesting. Like I've said this a million times, the story they tell about WrestleMania 3 can't possibly be true. When Vince McMahon went to Andre the Giant when he was filming The Princess Bride and said, "I need you to come back and wrestle Hogan." It wasn't, "I need you to come back and wrestle Hogan and we'll see what happens." It was, "I need you to come back and put over Hogan. You are the only guy who could send him to another stratosphere." Mm-hmm. Like, he can beat Bundy. He could beat the One Man Gang. Like, you're Andre the Giant. We need to do something we've never done before. That was the whole idea. Mm-hmm. Hogan knew that. Andre knew that. Vince knew that, and the idea that Hogan went out there not knowing what Andre was going to do is silly. Now, do I believe Hogan went to Andre and was like, "Hey, what are we going to do out there?" And not now, don't worry. Yeah, sure, I could believe that. Yeah. But the idea that he didn't know slam, leg drop, 1, 2, 3 in front of 93,170, that's ridiculous. Like, that's so against everything Vince McMahon said 5 minutes before that when he's talking about his business.
Well, look, and maybe it's different. Maybe it's different at that time in WrestleMania 3, but hell, we've watched enough wrestling in our lives to know how that was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
We knew for months Roman was going to lose at WrestleMania. We probably knew before.
It's storytelling.
Yeah, like,
it's storytelling.
We've seen enough. This is how this goes. Like, we know how this is going to go. So, I guess them still trying to go with that story that I wasn't sure how it was going to, come on, man. Like, all right, bro. Stop.
And the Monday Night Wars is the most, like, next to the Montreal screw job, it's one of the stupidest thing in wrestling.
You think so? I like
it's
the Monday
so
Night.
It's so overblown, and again, most of it isn't real because WWE gets to tell the story.
Yeah.
A lot of it is. Like, Eric Bischoff did give out the results. They did want to take WWE down. Like, all of that is true, but there's just so much, like, extra nonsense in there that's...
I always find that intriguing. And that's probably something that, like, I've watched every little documentary on that, so I know everything about that. But I find that intriguing because more than steroids, more than Owen Hart, Chris Benoit, whatever, I feel like that was the time when WWF was in trouble. Like, maybe not going away forever,
yeah,
but they,
95, 96.
It was like they had no answers.
Yep.
These guys were the hottest thing, and they didn't look like they were slowing down.
Yeah.
And they were coming out there with, like, they were shook. Vince
Duke,
looked
Duke
shook.
The dumpster Drosy.
Yeah, he looked shook, like, I don't have the answers.
Bastion Booger.